This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in a previous discussion we spoke about placing our total reliance and trust in or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking that into a deeper spiritual dimension within ourselves of making any complaint, any grievance, any sorrow, directing it only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything that we have, whether it be the what we may seem as linguistically hardships that we face, or rather we look at the opposite, the amount of blessings that we face, that we're ungrateful towards. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mah that you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the opposite of ni'mah, niqam, trials and tribulations or hardships, many ulama, they mention that if an adversity or hardship brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not actually a trial or tribulation. They say it's a blessing in disguise. It will only become a trial or tribulation that if it drifts you further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, that's very rare for a Muslim. Because most Muslims, when they go through trials and tribulations, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, most of them, they flee back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They assess themselves and begin to recognize that the way to strengthen myself or to come out of this calamity is to repent, is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because repentance doesn't always mean, as we mentioned, that person is sinful. Yes, we are all sinful. But it's what's known as naqs, deficiency, even in our ibadat, in our worship, in the daily things, the daily rituals that we do. We're deficient. That's why when we finish the salah, we make this supplication or we seek talab min Allah, astaghfirullah, thalatha marrat. Why are we seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after ibadah? Because the mind could have drifted, the heart could have drifted. The prayer wasn't as complete as one may want it to be. That's why the reward of the prayer, it diminishes, it goes down. For all of us stand in the same row. Some gain the maximum reward. Some half, some a quarter, some less than that. And some may even get no reward for this salat. Everyone standing equally in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these opportunities. Rather, He makes this call to us, to mankind, to better ourselves, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because two common questions that many people, they ask, how do I increase in blessings? Or how do I become rich? These are common questions that most human beings, they ask. And even Muslims as well, that how do I increase in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how do I increase in my wealth, in this dunya as well? They're not two separate entities that some of us may think that the world, to gain the wealth, I need to absolve myself from Allah. Give up my religious practices, then I'll become rich. Then I'll gain wealth inside my life. That's not the prophetic tradition or even before that, the Quranic injunction. The Quran tells us to carry out certain actions to gain richness. Even the concept of Hajj, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. When Allah makes this call, says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, call out to people the proclamation of coming to perform the Hajj. That's why many of us may be thinking that Hajj is a spiritual journey, and it is a spiritual journey. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, take your zad, take your provision. But the best provision that you take is consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as fuqaha, they speak about whilst traveling for Hajj, whilst engaged in Hajj, at-tijara ja'iza. Business transactions are allowed. Even if you travel with intention to sell your commodities, to buy some goods on the way and to sell them, and to earn profit. And whilst you're there inside al-haram al-makki, you're there, you're trading and you're selling. It doesn't prohibit that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the nature of the human being. Allah doesn't say live a life like a hermit or a monk, or absolve yourself from things of the dunya that you need. And rather, if you read many of the seerah of the ulama, seerah I'lam al-Nubala, in some 30 volume Imam Dhahabi, read about many of the ulama. They were self-sufficient. It wasn't like in today's world, it's a handout or stipend given to them, or a government gives them something. They were their own people, their own wealth. So they weren't controlled in their words and in their actions and what they preached to people. Rather, they controlled people in a sense that they had a freelance ability to speak to people. And that's what the role of a spiritual person should be, free from the handouts of what people may give to them. That's every single Muslim. Ayadul ulya khayru min yadis sufla. The upper hand is better than the lower hand, even though it's khayr in both of them. Sometimes a person may go into impoverished state, and that's why the Muslim ummah is there, to support people. But al-kasb al-yad, but the first initial beginning of the human being, is to make that effort with their own hands. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, numerous places inside the Quran, this call of Hajj, this call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We're going to remain with Ibrahim alayhi salam, because the whole ayah of today is the verse of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But prior to that, the encouragement inside the Quran of racing. Look at the language of the Quran. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَسَارِعُوا. It means run, rush, hasten. Another place in the Quran, وَسَابِقُوا. Al-musabaqa, to challenge one another, to compete with another, to gain heavens and earth, whose width is like the heavens and the earth. Another place inside the Quran, Allah mentions that Surah Tawbah. Inna Allah hashtara min al-mu'mineen. Allah has purchased from the believers. Look at the language of the Quran, buying and selling. Allah has purchased from the believers. Their selves and their souls and their lives have been purchased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they do? They strive and they struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the verse, it continues, it concludes by mentioning, فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ. Rejoice in the bay', in the business transaction that you've carried out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does Allah use such language inside the Quran? Because Allah knows the nature of the human being. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentions, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Are you believe, shall I show you a transaction? A business transaction that will do what? تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That will save you from the severe punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Jum'ah itself, when Salah is completed, what does Allah say? فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Spread out in the earth. Go out in the earth. Seek your sustenance. Seek your risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah doesn't say become dormant inside your life. Become stagnant inside your life. And then give these encouragements to go and do certain things. And as we remain with the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Inside Surah Ibrahim, the 14th chapter of the Quran, verse number 7. Once again, the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proclamation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ. Your Lord has declared, calls out to mankind, that if you increase in ta'a towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase you. And if you're ungrateful, inna adhabi la shadid, then indeed my punishment is severe. Allah doesn't say I'm going to be make you your life become deficient. Allah is, if you can use such words, blunt to the point. That you're ungrateful, then it's immediate punishment. Ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse inside Surah Ibrahim is a verse of Ibrahim. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, if you study the passages inside the Quran that speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam, they're profound passages. The discussions that he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his own son Ismail, with the people around him. Read all those passages inside the Quran that speak about Abu al-Bashar, the father of mankind. After Nuh alayhi salam is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's what you find inside this verse number 7 of the Quran. Look at the context of these 52 Makkan ayat of this surah that we find, and some ulama speak about one or two verses possibly being Medina, but the majority of the view, all this surah is a Makkan surah. Prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِي اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Prior to that, Allah discusses about Musa alayhi salam. Remember the blessings of the people of Musa placed upon you. إِذْ أَنْجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued you from the people of Fir'aun, يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ وَيُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. Remember this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people of Musa, that we rescued you from the people of Fir'aun. They used to sacrifice your sons. They used to kill and they used to slay you. They used to harm you. We rescued you from this. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, the people of Bani Israel, the people of Musa alayhi salam. And then comes this verse, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Then straight after Allah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention? Allah goes back to Musa alayhi salam, وَقَالَ مُوسَى إِنْ تَكْفُرُ أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Allah then says to Musa alayhi salam, إِنْ تَكْفُرُ, if you become ungrateful, you and whoever is on the face upon this earth, all of you, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Allah is all rich, the one who deserves praise. That if all of mankind disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا نَقَصَ مِنْ مُلْكِهِ شَيْءٍ. In a hadith Qudsi, I find it doesn't take away anything from the kingdomship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many of us, we have this concept inside our minds that if I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm doing some great service. I'm helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith says that all of you can be the most pious people in the face of this earth. It will not increase the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the needle, you dip the needle in the ocean. What clings to the eye of the needle? That's all it is, the whole of mankind. And not just the whole of mankind. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ. Allah said the first of you, the last of you, the mankind of you, the jinn of you, all of you become like the heart of one pious individual. مَا زَادَ مِنْ مُلْكِ شَيْئًا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Does it increase anything in the kingdomship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَالْأَكْسْ كَذَلِكَ. And the opposite, if all of us become the most wicked of people on the face of this earth, doesn't take away anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that these favors upon Bani Israel, that's why most of this Quran, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَقُصُّ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Most of this Quran is speaking about Bani Israel. مِنَ الْبِدَايَةِ إِلَى النِّهَايَةِ. Why? Why is it speaking about Bani Israel? Because Bani Israel, the people of Musa, is the most closest to us. It's a replica of us. The question that we ask, they ask the same question. That's why when we read the Quran, we don't seem to understand the message of the Quran. That continuous questioning that they do, the nitpicking, and trying to say, well, this could be halal, this could be haram, but it could be like this, but Allah doesn't really mean this. We live in a different time, a different realm, a different era, a different understanding. To ask these excessive questionings, to try to make excuses about things, rather than to say, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. What do they say? وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. We hear and we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so many blessings. That even in this discussion, when they asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah mentioned, ثُمَّ بَعْثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. When they asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah brought them alive back after they were dead. For what purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That you may be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the side point, if you look at Surah Al-Baqarah, these 286 verses, there's five different places inside this surah that Allah speaks about resurrection, al-ba'th, bringing people back to life when they're dead. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ. To show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ رَبُّكُمْ. There's no escaping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There maybe is that person from Bani Israel who said to his sons that when I die, burn me, cremate me, and then take my ashes on the edge of the ocean on a windy day and throw them out on a windy day so my ashes may go all over. Thinking what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't be able to collect me and resurrect me again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back together again. And Allah knows fully well why he done this. He said, why did you do this? He said, I feared your punishment. But for this individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed mercy and forgave him. وَهَذَا خَاسْ لِهَذَا الشَّخْصِ. This is only specifically for this individual. That doesn't mean that we're allowed to go and cremate ourselves today. But the lesson is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that no matter what happens to you, He'll cluster us all back together, bring Him in front of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no escaping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that similar ayat inside the Quran speaking about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't need to drift too far away inside Surah Ibrahim. The verse number 34, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. Allah gives you from everything you ask for. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here inside Surah Ibrahim. He gave you the sun, the moon, the night, the day, the rivers, the ocean. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. He gives you everything you ask for. Everything that you ask for, He grants it, He gives it to you. Then Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You can't enumerate, you can't count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah concludes, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظُلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Man is full of ingratitude. Allah gives everything. But yet, what is the human being full of? Always complaining. I don't have this in my life. I don't have that in my life. Kalla wa hasha. And that's where we find this concept, this atheist concept that's trickling into some Muslim. What did God do for me? What did Allah do for me? I'm always poor. I'm always downtrodden. I'm always ill. I'm always sick. I'm always suffering. I'm always going through these hardships. What did Allah do for me? Why don't you flip the coin and see what does Allah do for you? Allah's kept you alive. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the hadith, it mentions, go and see the sick people. See what they're going through. That's when it comes to religion, look at those people above you in religiosity. And when it comes to dunya, look at the people below you. Don't look at the people who've got millions and a lot of wealth or whatever it may be. Don't look at those people. Look at people below you. Because there's many millions who are suffering in the world. So that's your benchmark, to look below you. That look at these people suffering. And when it comes to religious identity, look at those above us who've excelled us and gone past us. From the anbiya, the messengers, the prophets, the salihin, the ulama, the pious people who've gone beyond before us. That's the benchmark the person should be looking at. But we find once again, as human beings, as Muslims, we have opposite traits. And we're trying to search for richness inside our lives that we find. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ أَعْلَمَ أَوْ أَعْلَنَ أَوْ أَذَنَ. Your Lord has declared, has announced. Imam Sa'di mentioned, وَإِذْ وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ. Your Lord has promised. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you give thanks to me, I will increase you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said in the Qura'ah, instead of وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Your Lord has said it, has established it. If you're grateful to Him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will increase you inside blessings. Other ulama said, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ بِمَعْنَا إِذْ أَقْسَمَ. Your Lord has made a vow, a promise. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Allah never goes against His promise. If He said that this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you give thanks to me, I will increase you. And how is thanks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Gratitude isn't just to say Alhamdulillah. That's the beginning of gratitude. That's the beginning of shukr. Allah says, وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. That to give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it entails ibadah. It entails worship. Not just alhamd wa shukr ala lisan. To give praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon one's tongue. Walakin bil jawarih. Via one's actions, one's limbs. Because this is a concept of deviancy that those people who believe that iman is just a nutq bil lisan. That Islam is just to utter with your tongue. That's not the creed of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. That's not the creed. The creed is an-nutq bil-lisani, is to utter the belief. Al-iqrar bil-qalbi, to establish it firmly inside your heart. Wal-amal bil-jawarih, and to live a life of actions, of trying your best. Washkuru lillahi in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun, as the Quran tells us or commands us to do. La-in shakartum, if you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Tabri inside his tafsir, he mentions, bita'atikum iyyahu fima amrakum wa nahakum. How do you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? بِطَاعَتِكُمْ, via your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِيمَا أَمَرَكُمْ وَنَهَاكُمْ, whatever commanded you to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you carry it out. Whatever He prohibited, told you to stay away from, you try your best, you try to stay away from that. الْإِعْتَرَافْ بِنِعْمِ اللَّهِ, to recognize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتِعْمَالُهَا, and to use the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their right place, in their right location. Inside Tafsir al-Wasit that we find, a modern day Tafsir, that recognize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then use them appropriately in the right place and inside the right location as the Sharia encourages us to do. Who are the leaders of gratitude? The leaders of gratitude are the Anbiya, al-Mursaleen, are the Prophets. That's why Ibrahim alayhi salam, inside the same surah, what is he highlight? He makes this supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرْزُقُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. When he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking, give my children, my progeny, my lineage, my genealogy, give them fruits of this world, give them sustenance of this world. For what purpose? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So when a person has good food, good life, it should lead a Muslim to gratitude. Not the Western concept that when you have a good life, that you enjoy yourself more, you indulge in more haram, you live haram life, that you only live once, there's only one life, enjoy as much as you can. That's a Western concept. Islam is the opposite. If you have that wealth, then you should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have more time. Al-faragh lil-ibadah. I have the opportunity to carry out ibadah. I have the opportunity to do good deeds. I don't have that mental strain in my life that many people have inside their life. Many people have that strain in their life that even for a normal person, even now, to pray 5 times a day, it is a strain. Because inside some narration it mentions, inna lis-salati shughula. Prayer has a shughul, is a work. You have to click in, click out. Clock in, clock out. If you're working on a daily basis, you have to stop and pray. That it's a work. You have to stop that. So many people, it does become difficult because as human beings, the psyche of the human being, that if I stop my work now, I'm going to lose some money. I'm going to lose some income. But that's where the person's iman kicks in, their faith. That what I'm doing, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah will never let your iman go to waste. But because we're surrounded by this force around us, tangible objects, materialism, what you can touch, you can feel, you can gain, you can have instant gratification of what you do, that's what I need to do inside my life. Islam isn't always instant gratification. That's when we began with wasari'u wasabiqu. Where's the thamarat? Where's the result? The results are inside al-akhirah, inside the hereafter. Sometimes Allah grants it inside his dunya to encourage us. But that doesn't become the all end to gain the world inside this dunya. Likewise, you find after, if I Nuh alayhi salam, innahu kana abdan shakura. Nuh alayhi salam was a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Dawood and Suleiman. Dawood mentioned, wa qalilu min ibadiyya shakur. اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور. Dawood and Suleiman alayhi salam, what were they both? They were kings. There's only 4 kings that ruled over all this earth. 2 of them Muslims and 2 of them disbelieving kings that ruled over all this earth. But look at Dawood and Suleiman alayhi salam. Look at these 2 individuals. Dawood said to Dawood, اعملوا آل داود الشكرى. Give thanks to our family of Dawood. Give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقليل من عبادي الشكور. Only a few of my servants are going to be grateful. That's Umar al-Khattab attribute. He used to say, oh Allah, make me amongst those qaleel. Make me amongst those small, minute amount of people who really give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suleiman alayhi salam. He mentioned, هذا من فضل ربي. ليبلوني أشكر أم أكفر. Suleiman alayhi salam was given the kingdomship of all the world and beyond that. He was given the kingdomship. He was given mantiqul tayr, the speech of animals. He's given control over the jinn. No prophet ever had that. It was going to be given to the prophet alayhi salam, but he refused it out of respect for Suleiman alayhi salam. Because Suleiman made that dua that give me a kingdom that no one will ever have. And it would have been given to the Prophet, but he had respect and love for his brethren. So he never asked for that. So Suleiman had everything given to him. And then when he said, who can bring me the throne of Bilqis, the queen of Sheba from Yemen? Who can bring me this throne of hers? So one of them said that before you even stand up, I'll bring it in front of you. And another one said, who've been given the knowledge, understanding. He said, before you even blink. Before you even blink, I'll bring Arshuha, I'll bring her throne right here in front of you. When it appeared in front of him, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is from the virtue, the blessing of Allah. It's not because I'm King Suleiman, I'm Suleiman, I'm a prophet, I'm this, I'm that. This is from the virtue of Allah. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. So Allah may test me. Allah is trialing me to see, what am I going to do? Am I going to be grateful or ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever is grateful for their own self, their own benefit. وَمَنْ كَفْرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. Whoever is ungrateful, then indeed, My Lord is rich, the all noble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And if you're ungrateful, then indeed my punishment is severe. Let's stay with the prophets, how the prophets describe the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay with Sulaiman alayhi salam. When he said to Al-Hudhud, when he said to the hoopoe bird that went missing, he said, it better come with the information why it's been delayed. And he said to him, لَوْعَذِّبَنُّ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. I'm going to give him a severe punishment for disobeying my commandments, because I'm only carrying out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we find Isa alayhi salam, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. I'm going to punish you so much, أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ, a punishment no individual ever had. Is how Allah described the people of Isa alayhi salam, the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. When they asked that, send us a ma'idah min as-sama, send us a table spread from the heavens. You've seen so many signs of Isa alayhi salam, healing the blind, the leper, people selling what's stored inside your store homes, and bringing the dead back to life, blowing into the clay pigeons, the birds, bringing them to life by the permission of Allah. You've seen all these signs, yet you want to see more signs. So Allah says that if this ma'idah min as-sama, this table spread comes from the heavens, if you don't believe after this, then I'm going to punish you with a severe punishment that no one has ever punished with ever before. Likewise, Musa alayhi salam, وَإِذْ تَعَدَّنَ رَبُّكَ لَيَبْعَثَنَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. Your Lord has declared that because if they don't believe, we're going to throw down, pelt down upon them a punishment that remains upon them until the day of judgment for the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Imam Tabri mentions, كَفَرْتُمْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَجَحَدْتُمُوهَا. You become ungrateful for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You begin to reject them via not giving shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Tabri mentions, وَعَذِّبُكُمْ كَمَا عَذِّبُ مَنْ كَفْرَ مِنْ خَلْقِي. And the punishment is going to be like one who disbelieved. Because remember, the word kufr carries the deeper meaning of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another meaning which is common for all of us is ingratitude. That's what kufr means. We are all, linguistically, we are all kuffar. We're all ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Technically, the extreme level is one of those who disbelieve, don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on a daily basis, we all, linguistically, reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all ungrateful. We're full of ingratitude in some form or some manner or some speech or in some action. We show ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam Qurtubi mentions, just like innal ash-shukr sabab lil mazid. Inside the tafsir, just like shukr makes you increase, then likewise to be ungrateful makes you decrease inside your life from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir mentions, أَيْ كَفَرْتُمْ النِّعْمْ وَسَتَرْتُمُوهَا وَجَحَدْتُمُوهَا. Ibn Kathir mentions that you begin to cover the blessings of Allah and you begin to reject them. That's what it means. That when a person cannot acknowledge that these are the blessings that have been given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he begins to discuss this concept of ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, other ulama tafsir, like Imam Tabari, begins to speak about this as well. And they narrate this hadith, going back to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقُ مِنْ ذَنْبِ يَنِي يَرْتَكِبُهُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ. Indeed, the person's risk is taken away from that individual because of a sin that they carry out inside their life. Even the ulama of hadith, like Shaykh al-Bani, rahmatullahi, da'afahu, has made this weak hadith to be weak. But the meaning is there, that there's other authentic narrations that when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see that disobedience inside your life. You see that in your riding beast. You see that in your daily life. You see that this effect of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it doesn't mean that every time something happens, we say, oh, it definitely must have been disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we speak about the zalazil, these earthquakes that many people, they jump to, oh, these people must have been disobedient individuals. They must have been doing some innovations in their life, or their aqidah was corrupt, or they're bad people. That shouldn't be the default position that we jump to. That should be somewhere far away. That shouldn't be immediately, we think that because they're bad people, so Allah decided to punish them. That's not always the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside the Quran, inside the sunnah. That because people done bad things, they're being punished. Yes, at times, people are punished. And every individual, yub'athu ala niyatihi. Every person will be resurrected according to their own intention. So we should remove that cliche from our mind, because some people like to push this agenda because they're bad Muslims, because they're corrupt in their belief, corrupt inside their actions, so Allah decided to punish them and punish them even more. That's not our approach. Our approach should be, we should be worried and take it as an awakening cause for ourselves and a form of purification for these individuals that they go through. And Ibn Kathir and Imam Tabari mentioned some other narrations which are clearly weak, as they both mentioned, but just to highlight the emphasis. That one day the Prophet ﷺ, he walked past an individual, or was attributed to him. We're just trying to take a lesson from this about gratitude. And he gave a date to a poor person. They rejected it. Just threw it aside. You know, what's one date going to do for me inside my life? Then he walked past another individual and he gave a date to another individual. And that individual said, a date from the blessed hands of the Prophet ﷺ. Took it with all full grasp. So the Prophet commanded, whatever is inside the house, whatever money, whatever may be, go and give it to this individual. Showing that even just gratitude of one date, that's inside the hadith it mentions. Save yourselves from the hellfire. Walau bi shiqqi tamra. Or bi shiqqi tamr. Save yourself from the hellfire, not via a date. Via half a date. And some ulama say just the thread of the date, the thread that sticks in your mouth. Use your money, your wealth, to rescue yourself from the hellfire. That's, you find that as-sadaqa tutfi'u an-nar, tutfi'u ghadab Allah. Giving sadaqa, it takes away the anger of Allah. It extinguishes the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It stops calamity. It weakens calamity. So all this opportunity of giving wealth, isn't that we should be huffing and puffing? Look at these people in money again. Look at the wisdom of Allah. It's arousing ourselves that I can use now an opportunity to help myself and to protect myself, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do inside our lives. And thus we find that this becoming full of ourselves. Inside Tafsir al-Wasit, it mentions Qawlu Qarun. What did Qarun say? إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Qarun was one of the right-hand man of Fir'aun. He was full of immense wealth. It's like, read the end of Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th chapter of the Quran. It says that there was a group of animals just to carry the keys of his treasures. Read what Imam Suyuti in Sadr al-Manthuri mentions. He highlights either 10 donkeys up to 40 donkeys just carrying the keys of his treasures. That was Qarun. Look at his words. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I've been given this via my own knowledge. Look what people say in the world today. I'm a millionaire because of my own mind, my own work, my own strength, my own ability, my own hard work, my own life, my own grinding, my own this. That's not a Muslim. That's never ever Muslim, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a blink of an eye, can make a rich person to a poor person, a poor person to a rich person. قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Allah is the one who gives mulk to whomever He wants. He snatches it from whoever He wants. He gives izzah to whomever He wants. And He disgraces whomever He wants. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. All goodness lies in the hands of Allah. Not in my hands. Not in your hands. No one's hands. It lies only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. Allah then responds to Qarun. Don't you see how many people were destroyed before you مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّ وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. Nations and tribes became more powerful than you, Qarun. And had more wealth than you. Till eventually Allah mentions فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Look at the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ. We made him to drown in the earth, him and his wealth, his dar, all of his property will be sinking until the day of judgment. And a hadith it mentions about a person who boasted about their wealth, exactly the same thing. Carries on sinking inside the earth until the day of judgment. And that's Allah mentioned about Qarun, وَفِرْعَوْن وَهَامَانَ. That's why Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his book speaks about Tariq Hukm al-Salah. He speaks about Ru'usul Kafara, Fir'aun, Qarun, Haman, and Ubay ibn Khalaf. Because in a hadith it mentions whoever leaves the salah will be with these four individuals. If I'm not mistaken, Mustadrak of Imam Hakim, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he says, why did the Prophet mention these four entities and resemble it to the prayer? Why did he say that those individuals who abandon their prayer are going to be with Fir'aun, with Qarun, with Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf? لِأَنَّمْ رُؤُوسُ الْكَفَرَى. They're the heads of disbelieving individuals. If you divide disbelief in prioritizing it, what do you find? You either find Fir'aun wanting to be the leader, the king of people. Qarun wanting to be the treasurer, possessing wealth of the people. Haman being the wazir, the advisor to Fir'aun. And Ubay ibn Khalaf wanting to be the tribal leader. These are all things that take a person away from this salah. That's why many times the Prophet he warned his companions. He said, don't seek position, don't seek authority. Because it's going to be a great big responsibility upon the person. So shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then mentioned, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Musa came with signs to these individuals. They were arrogant. وَمَا كَانُوا سَابِقِينَ فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ. Each one of them, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. Each one of them, we took them accordingly. We gave them a specific punishment. Some of them, we drowned them in the ocean. Some of them, we made the earthquake to come. Some of them, we made a great storm to come. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys individuals who become ungrateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inside Surah Al-A'raf, Allah mentioned, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. If the people of the village, they believed, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah will open up the heavens and earth for blessings of the heavens and earth for those individuals who believe in Him. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. But they rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we take them because of the actions they carried out inside their lives. And in conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need to punish us. That we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish Muslims. Allah said inside the end of one of the Jews, Allah mentions, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What does Allah gain by punishing you? What does Allah gain? إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. That's the condition. You're grateful and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's giving us opportunities we began with to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why even the ibadat that we do, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That come in a nas, la yusalloon. How many people don't pray, don't fast, don't read Quran? We should be there thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the Prophet advise his companion? What did he say to him after prayer? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, assist me in your remembrance, in being grateful to you, being full of gratitude, making me able to do ibadah. That's why when a sign of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you yassir laka al-ibadah, Allah makes it easy, simple for you to make ibadah. Allah eases the path, grants you the ability to come to the masjid, to pray, to remember Him. That's what we should be doing. It's Allah thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're gathered to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many people don't gather to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make effort to remind these individuals about His ultimate blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.